Canyon, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank, Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlees Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. Hey, and it is Saturday morning, and this is Green Country Gardener on your Saturday. Larry Glass over to the other microphone, ready to take your garden questions. And first of all, it's first weekend in February, and we're not quite ready for that St. Valentine's Day massacre of all the plants, but we're getting close.
It's not quite time for the chainsaws.
No.
But it is
Let them sit for another weekend or two.
It is actually time to maybe... And I did this to my fruit trees last week. Time to trim those back.
Oh, okay.
It's getting nearly time to do the dormant spray.
Right.
The fungicide and the dormant oil on them. We talked about dormant oil last week.
Right, we did.
And it's getting time to do that. You want to be sure to kill those overwintering insects on your fruit trees. It's while it's warm, relatively warm, and you got some weeds in your grass, which I do in mine, you can spray some Roundup on it because the Bermuda grass is dormant.
It does work. The Bermuda grass doesn't care right now, and if you can kill the weeds, go for it.
Yeah, so you got a strategic way to
typically what's up already is a hen, but the henbit's already sticking its head up, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
In fact, it is. Yeah.
What a
well, it's just part of Oklahoma, I guess, having henbit and weeds. And it's also time to plant trees and shrubs. We planted a big old Chinese pistache yesterday.
How big?
Oh, pretty good. I had to put it in a one-ton truck. It's a pretty good size tree.
That's a pretty good size tree then.
You bet. So we planted that yesterday and a few other things. We're doing some paving projects right now, some retaining walls, sprinkler systems, just that kind of winter stuff we're doing right now at the nursery. And we're getting it ready for spring. We got all kinds of new goodies to look at.
Spring preparation is always a fun time.
Exactly. And the house plants are going real well.
Okay.
It's time to test your soil if you didn't have any luck. And I'm sure we have some guests today who can attest to the virtues of testing your soil. So,
do you want to go ahead and make the introduction now?
Okay, we've got Raylan Boudreau. Boudreau and
Tom Robinson.
Tom Robinson with their avid pumpkin growers, and we're going to discuss that today.
Okay. So if you want to find out more about how to have a great pumpkin, they can tell you all about it.
Well, it's not only pumpkins. From what I read from his memo, that the way they prepare the soil and everything else, it goes across many platforms. It's not just for growing pumpkins.
Okay.
It's a good idea to do exactly what they're talking about. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So there are other members of the cucurbita family that you could plant cucumbers and squash and just follow the same thing. So.
Okay.
Okay. Take it away. You're on the air.
Okay. We just wanted to kind of share with you what we've got coming up this spring. We're going to have the Washington County Way Off. We're going to have a way off that will have $1,000. We're shooting for $1,000 first prize.
Okay.
And
now, for our Kansas listeners, I want to make sure that we bring them up to date. Washington County Free Fair for the last, I'm not going to say about 5 years or maybe more, but I'm going to say around 5 years, has run a great pumpkin contest.
Right.
You ask people to bring in a big one. I know that it was about 5, maybe 7 years ago, Washington County set the state record on that big pumpkin.
Right. And I was the one that brought, got that 880, I got the state record.
Okay.
And Raylan was the one kind of instrumental in starting this up. So if you want to kind of share how this came about, and when people bring, they can bring it all over the nation to this here, but we've got a premium. If you're in Washington County, you can get $100 plus the $1,000. So you could get $1,100 if you're in Washington County and end up first place. But Raylan can kind of share that with you, how we started that.
Good morning, Ray.
Good morning. Kind of give a brief background. I moved here several years ago, 7 or 8 years ago, and I was invited to be superintendent of the horticultural section at our county fair. And so to try to get a little bit more participation in the county fair, I started selling tomato plants in July for fall tomato crops. And so it was fairly successful, and I started off by having an award for the largest pumpkin contest, which you mentioned, and the prize at that time was $25. Well, we've upped the prize, and now what we're here to talk about is actually we formed a club or in the process of a farming club called the Oklahoma Giant Pumpkin Growers Club. Okay. And our vision here is to grow huge pumpkins. We're talking about 1,000-pound pumpkins, and we will coordinate with the county fair. Mm-hmm. The weigh-in will be the Saturday of our county fair, which will be the first Saturday. Well, it'll be the first Saturday following Labor Day.
Okay.
It'll be in coordination with the county fair.
So I don't have a calendar in front of me, but I'm going to approximate it around the 10th, 12th of September, whatever that Saturday is.
In that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Part of what we're trying to do is form the club, get people interested. We've got members in the club. It will be open to pumpkin growers from Oklahoma and our surrounding states, Missouri. We have some growers or a grower interested now from the Texas Panhandle.
Okay.
So basically with that, I'm going to turn it over back to Tom and let him talk about the club.
Okay, sounds great. But between the two of you, and Larry will want to guide us around through soil prep and everything else, but let's continue talking about the club and what you'd like to get done this year. Like have a not that yours wasn't by any means a state record, but some more really big pumpkins coming in.
Right. We're trying to work with people, and anybody can bring their pumpkin to this fair. It doesn't have to be the surrounding. You know, if somebody wants to bring it up from Mexico, we'll take anybody's to, you know, from Mexico or Canada. You know, so anybody can do. The club members have to be local around a surrounding state.
Okay.
So our club, we've got about 14 in it. We just had a seed auction last night that we generate $1,295, and that will kind of go towards the $1,000 payoff. And we've got another seed auction. So the first thing that I'd like to share is if you are thinking of growing this, you need to kind of start getting your seeds, because the best pumpkin seeds will sell out pretty quick. And it's a lot like horse racing. I mean, there's genetics, and you look for, and there's people that, it's unreal how much some of them will spend on a seed, okay? But we had we had that auction. We're going to have another auction that's going to be the third. It's March the 11th. We're going to have another auction, and you can go to mybigpumpkins.com, and if you go there, there will be Washington, you know, an Oklahoma club, and you can buy seeds in there. And so we've got some of the biggest growers all over the nation that have donated seeds for our club. So,
and of course, if you want a big pumpkin, you need a seed that came through that line genetically.
Yeah.
that will give you big pumpkins.
Yeah, the Atlanta Giant is what the breed is, and a guy by the name of Howard Deal, he is a Canadian, has since passed away, is the one that kind of came up with this variety of seed. And the record right now is a guy from Germany. It's 2,600, I think, 42 pounds. So it's a very, very, very large pumpkin. One in the United States was a guy, I believe he was from Washington State or California, somewhere out on the East Coast, you know, and he's had a pretty decent one. But anyway, they're very, very large pumpkins. We're wanting to attract growers from all over. I know in Republic, Missouri, we went to that pumpkin way off, and there's a guy that brings his all the way from Georgia. So we're hoping that people will come from, you know, states around to bring their pumpkin here. We're hoping to have a whole, you know, 30, 40 pumpkins. Everybody in the pumpkin club, there's 14 of us, and we all talk like we're going to bring a pumpkin no matter what size we've got next year.
You mentioned the Republic, Missouri site. Are there other sites around the country that have this sort of
Yes.
contest?
Yes. It's called the Greater Pumpkin Commonwealth is a site that we're going to join.
Okay.
And they have sites. You know, there's one in Colorado. There's, you know, several up in northeastern part of this, you know, country. And they've got maybe five or six of them around the area that everybody in there has to be, you know, there's certain rules and bylaws you got to abide by. The judging, they want to make sure it's fair for everybody, so they've got a set of rules that we'll need to follow. and are judging.
Well, I can see where this could be just like, I'll say, chili cook-offs or barbecue contests, where you're going to draw people from literally all over the country that will come to participate in this event.
Right, right. The Republic, Missouri, when we went there, all of us kind of, we were all from Bartlesville, four of us went over to witness that. Mm-hmm. And it kind of had the flavor of what Sunfest was. I mean, there was about, I would say, close as many people as we'd have at Sunfest. And they've been doing it for, is it 18 years or 15, 18 years, I think, in Republic, Missouri.
I think it's 1994.
Okay. Yeah. So they've been doing it quite a while, but they have a bunch of people going, have, I forget the number of vendors they say they have, but it's a big, big, big production. So we're not expecting that this first year, but I think, you know, 10, 12, 15 years down the road, we could have something that may be something, you know, similar to what Sunfest would be in size and scope.
But I can easily see where, as you know, somebody from let's say this part of the country travels to the one in Republic or the one in, I'm pulling right. this out of the air, Georgia, Illinois, California, wherever, mm-hmm. and takes some flyers with them, that all of a sudden the word's going to spread.
Right, right. You know. Very quickly. Yes, yeah. I'm sure of that.
So this is a neat operation, and I'm sure, as you've already experienced and talking to these other big pumpkin growers, mm-hmm. you're going to find more and more tips on soil right. prep, on nutrition, and everything else for them.
Yes, yeah. We've got several of the people in the club that are younger. I teach full-time, and I grow it, and I'm not into it like they are, but they'll say, oh, you need to make sure we have no chloride in your water. You need to put a filter on it, remove the chloride. A lot of the pumpkin growers are using mycorrhizal, which is a it helps in the roots and mm-hmm. gives a lot more root mass. And there's a lot of things that they say, oh, you need to do this. So anyway, in the club, you pick that all up. And if anybody would like to join our club, we'd like anybody to sign up and help out in the club. If you want to know anything, we can work you through and help you immensely in anything you'd have.
We'll mention this several times in the program, but since you mentioned joining the club, let's talk about how somebody can get involved.
Yeah. If they'll go to Facebook and go to the Oklahoma Giant Pumpkin Growers, we've got a Facebook set up. There's, I don't know, 15, there's people in there that are just like from Georgia mm-hmm. that are, they're really not members, but there's some members of our clubs that's also members of a club in Utah they've got. So you can be anywhere, and we can just through Skype, they can come in, and they don't have to actually physically be here. But the first meeting, we had a guy drive all the way in from Texas, Wheeler, Texas, and says, I'll have a pumpkin there when we had the judging there at the Washington County Fair. So they're coming in, but they can go to that Facebook thing and sign up and say they want to become a member of the club, and I'll get in contact with them and tell them when our next meeting is.
Well, I remember the year that you won at the county fair, and right. I know we had another really great large specimen this past year.
Yes, yes.
And excitement around the area yeah. is there. That one yeah. of the reasons people went to the fair was to see your
right.
pumpkin.
Right. And the guy that won, that had the 660 this last year, he's in our club, very excited, very, and I tried to get him here. He said, no, that's... he just didn't want to come. So anyway, and his brother's about the same. There's two brothers that wrote, my old students at Central.
Okay.
But anyway, they're both going to grow a pumpkin this year. Just last year it was Nate only, but yeah.
Well, it sounds like this is going to be a project that I think a lot of people are going to want to pick up.
Yeah.
And between you and the club and the advice that Larry's going to be right. Passing along, not only now as we look at soil prep, right. but throughout the year,
right, right.
I'm sure you're going to be checking back with us probably again, maybe every couple of months through the growing season.
Okay. That would be great. Yes, we'd love to do that.
And
okay.
Progress reports would be fun.
Yeah.
We're going to take a short commercial break, and we will continue. And, of course, your phone calls always welcome on Green Country Gardener, 800-749-5936. You want to find out about the club or how to get seeds or maybe what's best to grow large pumpkins, we can talk about this morning. Or, of course, all the other things that are always out there as far as overwintering insects on your fruit trees or getting the lawn ready for next year. We'll take your questions and get your answers on Green Country Gardener coming up in just a bit.
Talking with Brent at United Rentals.
A towable boom cherry picker where you can get up high and do some tree trimming.
Yep, we have two different sizes. Usually keep a 50 and a 34 footer. Just like the big booms, you tow it behind your pickup, you spot it, you can trim your tree, you can paint your house, fix your soffits, whatever works for you. 3801 Southeast Nevada Road, 918-333-9580.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has a great selection of plants for inside and outside the home. Fill your home with vibrant houseplants, cactus, hanging plants, and more. Come by Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road and check out Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, winter hours, Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 4.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333.
Talking with the customers of the Gusher Car Wash, and looks like you're just about ready to finish up this truck.
Yes, sir, I am.
What made you choose the Gusher?
I live up in Independence, Kansas. Anytime I come through Bartlesville, I always wash my car here.
Must say something about the job the machine does, and I noticed you got a polishing cloth in your hand, too.
I do. It does a good job, much better than what we've got to offer up north here. And so anytime I come through, I'm very pleased with the product and their service and what they offer.
Go to the Gusher today. The Gusher Car Wash on US 75 South in Bartlesville. The telephone number to get you on Green Country Gardener on your Saturday morning. And, of course, all of the normal reasons for to call in always apply. Larry Glass to answer your questions. But, again, we're talking pumpkins this morning. And, again, Raylan Boudreaux and Tom, I couldn't think of your first name, Tom. I apologize. In here to talk large pumpkins with us. And we're not talking about just basketball size. These we're talking about 3 feet. 4 feet mm-hmm. or more in diameter on these pumpkins.
They need wheels.
They do. Well, it took, I know when you brought yours in, it took a forklift to get it inside the fairgrounds building, and I'm sure most of the rest of them will take at least that.
Yeah. Actually, we had a tractor there at the fairgrounds, and we were on the back of it on the blade trying to get enough weight to get it off there, and we couldn't even get it into the building. We had to have P&K bring a bigger tractor out so we could lift it up. So that's just the 880. Yeah. The one in Missouri was, I believe, it was 1,600 pounds that he just raised in Republic, Missouri, which is just, you know, three, four hours
it's
away.
It's right on I-44 yeah. around the Springfield area.
Right. Yeah. So if they can grow that in that climate there, there's no reason we couldn't get 1,600. That's kind of what I'm shooting for. A lot of my pumpkins, when I started, the first one's about 100, and I went to about 200, and I had about a 400, and I had that 880. So if I double the 880, I'm shooting for about 16 this year if things go right.
Well, I'll jokingly hold you to it, but whatever okay. you get right. is what you're going to get.
Yeah, yeah.
but this is you started, I'm sure, on ground prep on this months before the growing season came on.
Now I did. The very first one, I just kind of went out and sprayed Roundup on a grassy area and put it in there and just. I had a brother-in-law that says, let's have a bet. Let's see. He got into big pumpkins, and he's since got out. He lives up in South Dakota. And I just started my first, you know, pumpkin. Wasn't that big, but I really didn't really work at it. But, yeah, most of the pumpkin growers now spend a lot of time getting their soil exactly. You know, we send it in, get it tested, make sure we're exactly where we need to be on it. And the pumpkin needs a real rich, high, you know, a lot of organics, and at the top, you know, it's a pretty big feeder, you know, it has a lot of root system. You need a lot of area. You know, the first thing you're going to do is get your seed, because they can sell out. You need the seed there, because you get the site already, and the breed of pumpkins, you can get a pumpkin seed, and you can probably grow a 500, 600, 700, 800 pounder. But if you're wanting to get the big one, you know, if you're wanting to, I mean, you might, my theory is, if you're going to grow it, you might as well for sure get the state record. And I'd love to someday have the world record, okay? There's a lot of prestige goes with that. That'd be a wonderful thing to do, but I mean, there's a lot of gardeners all across the globe mm-hmm. that grow a lot of giants, Atlanta giants, so you'd really have to, you know, everything would just have to fall in place, right temperature, no pests, good weather, no hail damage, no wind damage. We, you know, here in Oklahoma, we got the heat and the drought, or we get rain galore mm-hmm. and things are floating around in your garden, and, you know, so that can be bad too. So sometimes, no matter what you try, the weather may be against you. There's some years that just don't work.
Yeah, Larry, you're a little bit off microphone on that one. So let's turn this one back around here so you can get your comments in here as well.
I said, did you hear that, Charlie?
Oh, I see. You're trying to make your reservations for proper rain amount at the proper time,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. And actually, yeah. Okay. So, yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. So on what you need to do a pumpkin, right? There's been, and I could give you the name of the guy, but there's a guy that grew a 301 pound in about an 8x8 plot, right? So that's, you know, a fair piece, but not real big.
It's a modest garden, yeah, I think, yeah. But it's not a lot of real estate.
Right.
Yeah.
And he did that, you know, going up on trellises. So if you have just a small backyard area with a chain link fence that you could get the vines up on the fence, you know, you could have a smaller area. But most of your pumpkin growers want anywhere from, let's say, 420 square feet plot. You know, there's been a 1,000-pounder from that. But most pumpkin plots average, it range anywhere from about 300 to 2,500 per plant, right?
Okay.
The really big guys that are growing the monster ones mm-hmm. have very large ones. Some of them, and there's all, you talk to gardeners, and it's like anything else. Everybody's got their own idea, this here works, or some people will actually get each plant and graft them together. So, you know, if you got three plants, it's like basically one big plant because everything can share nutrients and move it from one plant to the other. Mm-hmm. And there's some people swear by that. There's all kinds of people that, you name it, they try everything. The guy that had the winning pumpkin in Missouri actually has fans that he puts to kind of cool them down and keep the blossom and the end on the stem of that big fruit. He runs the fans 24/7 just to make sure that there's no mold or mildew or anything. You know, he tries to keep it dry. Mm-hmm. Okay. Some people swear up and down you don't want to spray with a sprinkler system, which I've always used and worked, and it works for me. All right. You don't really want to water at night late because then, you know, you can have mold, mildew, and fungus, right? So for me here, at least in Oklahoma, what has worked for me is I water the heat of the day, you know, and I have a sprinkler system that I put. It's not a big, big, high volume, but it takes a while to get everything to where I need it. Mm-hmm. And the heat of the day, I water.
Would a drip system be good?
And a lot of people will use drip systems and say that's the best.
You don't really want water on the leaves. You get mildew sometimes. We can have long periods of time when it's cloudy weather, relatively cool in the spring and early summer.
Yeah.
So, good idea.
I've been fairly fortunate with the sprinkler system, and I've tried the soaker hose. A lot of those, you get the soaker hoses, and a year or two, it seems like, you know, you're always having to buy them. If I could find a soaker hose that would last 10, 15 years, that might be one thing, but it seems like every 2 or 3 years I'm having to buy another one because that rubber soaker hose just doesn't last.
That lasts a little longer in a more northern latitude, perhaps.
So they don't last long down here. But some do a soaker hose. That's a drip system or something like that.
Well,
yes.
And that was my comment that I was going to jump in there with at some point in time. That, you know, what works, let's say, in Nebraska or in Kansas or Utah mm-hmm. may not be best mm-hmm. practice mm-hmm. northeast Oklahoma, southeast Kansas.
Right. Yes, definitely. So, anyway, the plot, that's the first thing you need to start getting that ready. Get a lot of organics in it. They recommend on organic content matters about 8 to 9%, you know, and a lot of people that are really into this will find out the big pumpkins, what was yours at? And they'll get everything. I mean, it gets kind of expensive if you go get every little chemical balance, you know, checked, because mm-hmm. everything you check just adds more to the sample cost.
One more thing. You did mention a mycorrhizal inoculation prior to that, and we've used this, and I've used it personally.
Right.
and it I do notice an improved
water
tolerant or drought tolerance in
your
plants.
Yes. Yeah.
So.
And for those that are not familiar, because we really haven't talked recently about that process on this program, that adds a lot as far as root propagation. Is that right?
Right. The mycorrhizae is a subterranean fungus.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the mushroom is a flowering part of a subterranean mycorrhizae.
Okay.
So basically, it's an underground fungus. It's benevolent. It doesn't make your feet itch or anything. It's not a bad fungus, but it does help draw in water. It acts like an extended root system to your plants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if it's dry out, there's a lot more water that they can uptake.
Yeah, and that would increase the amount of water it can get.
Yeah, and nutrients and stuff, but all the big growers use that, and there's people that have grown big pumpkins that people say, hey, I want what you've got,
mm-hmm.
and there's people that's got their own business down, and they're selling, and suppose there's YouTube stuff that shows how you can make and, keep your own and establish that, but that's a big, big business, and it's not real, real cheap, to do, and to get large quantities of it, because what you really ideally want to do is every node when you got your pumpkin going across there, you want to bury it and put that that mycorrhizal at each place, because the way I understand it, that if you go out and put it in your soil and it's just sitting there, it's not going to do anything until you actually start having roots that it can get into and start working with. So you I always bury all of my vines. Okay. The two guys in town that grow says, mine started mildewing and I'm not going to, bury mine. So, but I've always had luck burying mine. And most people would recommend you bury it because it gives you a lot more root mass all the way down the primary vine and the secondary vines.
Okay. So. Interesting, Larry. Anything else on by burying the vines? We haven't really talked about that.
No. What about mulching?
A lot of mulch. I've ordered the mulch from you that I'm going to cover up, kind of suppress the seeds. I'm doing something, and I may be the only pumpkin grower that's ever tried this, okay? Mm-hmm. But there's what's called cover crops that you plant other crops in there that are beneficial. A lot of them will fix nitrogen, and a lot of the no-till, if you hear a lot about that,
sure.
Farmers and whatever.
Yeah.
And I've seen films, watch any more YouTube. You can go watch about anything you want there, on YouTube. But anyway, to me, I've got stuff planted in mine now that I'm probably just going to leave at the edges and where the vine is. I'm going to just roll it down or flatten it down and just plant right on top of it and let that organic material work back down into the soil. And I'm going to try to get away from tilling as much and see what happens. I don't know if it'll work, and I may not, because I don't think there's any big pumpkin grower that's doing a no-till, but I thought I'd at least give it a shot.
And then that's how research is done.
Yeah.
800-749-5936 if you'd like to get involved on our pumpkin conversation this morning. We will continue Green Country Gardener coming up in just a bit.
When it comes to banking, it can be hard to find a place where you feel like more than just a number. At American Heritage Bank, we combine over 110 years of experience with the highest quality of customer service to give you an unparalleled banking experience. Stop by one of our convenient locations or visit us at ahb-ok.com to experience the difference. American Heritage Bank, member FDIC.
If your yard is not flourishing, consider this. Talk to the experts at Enterprise Sod Store. They will tell you that sod is the answer to an instant yard and is mostly weed-free. Enterprise Sod has three kinds of sod: Bermuda, Zoysia, and Fescue. They'll pick up and deliver your sod and train you how to install and care for your sod. If you're a current or new homeowner or a landscaper or contractor, call the sod experts at Enterprise Sod Store, 918-333-6888. Stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Make sure you plan a trip to Peter's True Value in Dewey for all of your project needs. Right now, a DeWalt 7 1/4 inch circular saw blade is only $4.99. This 24-tooth tough tungsten carbide tip blade has an anti-stick rim to reduce friction and gum up, and ultra-thin curve results in smoother cuts. Check out this great bargain of the month along with other project essentials while supplies last. Peter's True Value in Dewey. Behind every project is a true value.
These days, it's easy to have information overload. Sometimes I just want to kick back, hear my favorite music and the news that affects me. That's why I stay tuned into my local radio station. When important news happens in my part of town, I hear it from them first. For the best entertainment, sports, news, weather, and traffic, anytime, anywhere, I stay local. Support your local stations. Text RADIO to 52886. Furnished by the NAB and this station. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
The telephone number that gets you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning all across the line. We're talking growing large pumpkins. Hopefully you're getting a little bit interested and probably asking some questions on how to get some large pumpkin production going on this growing season. And I know we got more tips for you coming down the road.
All right. Let me back up. I wanted to make sure we got $1,000, not $100,000. Well, that'd be real nice. No.
That's 10 years down the road.
Yeah, yeah. We got the $1,000. We've got second place is $500. Third place is $300. Fourth is $100. And fifth place is $50. And you're right. As we go down the years, we'll probably get more. And there is a group in New York that it's a club, okay? Mm-hmm. It's like a farm's. You know, like they sell seeds and everything else. But anyway, they have a big, and they say, if you bring the next world record, we'll pay $10,000. That's a $10,000 that they'll give whoever's the next. You know, I thought, well, that'd be kind of a fun thing to, you know, grow the next world record and take it there and get $10,000 on it. So, yeah, that's not totally unrealistic, so.
Yeah, for somebody who maybe already has just a typical, if there is such a thing, typical vegetable garden,
right.
And they want to get into growing super-sized pumpkins, and I mean, first of all, I guess going back to the basic soil analysis and that sort of thing is a good place to start.
Right, right. And on this soil, we said before you need about 8 to 9% organic material. You need nitrogen about 30 to 35 parts per million, and you can see different people may have a little bit different range there, you know, whatever, different clubs or just their personal preference, right? The phosphorus, which is the P, is 160 to 170 parts per million, and the potassium, which is a K, is 540 to 550 parts per million, is what you kind of want to look at when you're getting your soil tested.
And then as far as trace elements, other things that will really, you know, help with some of that production as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't have that right in front of me, but there's you know, you want iron, you know, there's other trace elements that you for sure want, and yeah. I don't have that list right in front of me, so.
Yeah, but maybe an application of Micromax would
right.
help, and a little bit of sulfur, too, perhaps.
Yeah, yes, whatnot. Yes. And nothing's really going to hurt. I mean, there's,
sure.
you know, so.
They're pumpkins.
and I'm sure all the other micronutrients, if you actually get around to try to use it as you know, pies, would change the flavor of the pumpkin just a little bit, you know, so.
And for this pumpkin, it is bred solely for the size.
Right.
I don't know that anybody's ever even tried. I don't even know. If I try to, you know, if I get squash bugs and whatever, I'll try my best. I got honeybees, right? So I try my best to not kill my bees off, right? So I try to get them, you know, eliminated as best I can. But there's sometimes that you have to bring out the big guns and you hope you're not hurting anything, but you know what I'm saying? I don't want something to really get, to go, you know.
Going back to if you were a doctor, above all, do no harm, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, there's times you really have to get pretty serious with the chemicals, and I wouldn't want to eat it, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm, you know, the stuff, you know, a lot of times I'll have tomatoes and everything else, and I won't spray those with what I'm, you know, spraying. Squash bugs can really be, I've had those, and there's sometimes just like aphids would be just, you just have, and it's one year there's really no problems with aphids, and next year it's like, oh my goodness, it just seems like I'm constantly fighting with aphids, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And just kind of varies from year to year. The vine borer, I found out that there's a, you can get like a trap that's got a lure that it will actually, and I thought, I don't know if this is really going to work, and I got it, and man, I was getting all kinds of the vine borers, and they can really be bad too some years. So anyway, those are a bad thing to you know, get in your garden.
Okay, so it's just a matter of, I guess, some of the pests that are out there, and just like any other pest management scheme, you have to prescribe what you're doing for the pest you've got.
Right. And you can take it to Larry, you know, show him what type of pest you got, or OSU, say, hey, you know, how'd I get rid of this? And, you know, there's some pretty effective things out there you can do that. For me, I don't really want to harm the honeybees, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
We need to keep those around, and they're close to my pumpkin patch, so I try to be mindful of that also.
Well, I think that's a message that we've gotten pretty intensively recently over the last, I'll say, 2, maybe 3 years. I mean, even the post office came out with a series of stamps on preserving the pollinators, so hopefully we got the message on that.
Right. Okay, so once you get your, you know, we kind of went over, and I'm not giving a real, I'm kind of giving you a quick overview, or at least I'm hoping to give you a quick overview in the time we have. So if you want to start growing, you know to get your seed, you know to get your soil, you know, done, everything's up, you know, so you're ready. Mm-hmm. The next thing you need to do is figure out on the pumpkin, all right? You need to figure out anywhere from 140 to 160 days from when you're wanting to, so if you're wanting to go to the Washington County Fair, all right, you need to pick
that second weekend in September.
Yeah, you need to go 140 to 160 days, which would be you're wanting to start your seed, and you know, April we still could have frost. April 15th normally around here is the last frost date, so you're going to want to start these if you're going to do it at 160 days, you need to start it right at April the 1st to harvest it.
Get your pen and paper out and write some of these dates down. We're going to walk you through that right after this break. 800-749-5936. We'll run through some of that information. You have your pen and paper ready in just a bit.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has a great selection of plants for inside and outside the home. Fill your home with vibrant houseplants, cactus, hanging plants, and more. Come by Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road and check out Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, winter hours, Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 4.
Talking with customers at the Gusher Car Wash, and you just pulled in getting ready to vacuum the truck, right?
Yep.
Why you choose the Gusher? What made it special for you today?
The price, actually, and it does a really good job washing, and I like the free vacuum.
That free vacuum makes it special, just because you don't have to count your minutes, right?
Yep.
You can use it as long as you want. And you're a regular customer here at the Gusher?
Yeah. I normally, about every other weekend, I grab a couple different vehicles we got and just make rounds with them. So I'll be back here in a minute with the other one.
Go to the Gusher today. The Gusher Car Wash on US 75 South in Bartlesville.
Hey, at our startup, my team and I move at the speed of tech 24/7. And every single day, it's information overload. It's coming at me from all directions. And you know what? Bottom line, I just need the news that matters. So where do I turn? Local radio and TV. I want to hear from people who live and work in my town. They give me the real story with information I know I can rely on. So where else can I find out what's happening in my community? Weather and traffic, things that affect my family and my business. I want to stay informed by sources I trust, my local radio and TV stations, for the best entertainment, sports, news, traffic, and weather with no agenda and more reliable than other platforms. So if you ask me for the information I want anytime, anywhere, I stay local. Support your local station. Text radio to 52886 today. Furnished by the NAB and this station. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
The telephone number to get you on the air. We're talking to large pumpkins, but telephone calls always have priority on the program. And Larry, I think we have a caller. Good morning, caller. You're on Green Country Gardener. What can we do for you today?
Yes, I just wanted to know what kind of organic material he adds to his soil. Whether it's manure or whatever.
I love leaves, okay? I put about, I would say, close to 800 leaves in mine. Sacks of leaves, yeah. Yeah, sacks. Sorry, 800 sacks of leaves. I got a nice leaf shredder, and you want to make, I like to make it as small as I can. It makes it break down a lot quicker, and I till that into my garden. So that's what I use. But any organics,
do that in the spring or the fall?
You know, whatever you got. Spring or fall?
Spring or fall on that?
It'd be best to probably do it in the fall.
Okay.
And I use a lot of rab manure. You can use whatever you want. I would be very, very careful. One time I got horse manure when I first started out, and it wasn't really composted as well as it should be, and you would not believe all the big grass, that was coming up.
I had weeds
and weeds that I was fighting for.
I did that
years.
One time myself, and I was fighting alfalfa
yeah.
for.
Yeah,
for,
yes.
Crazy.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's what I use. But you can use, it doesn't really matter just about any organic material. Some may, like if it's oak, you may, the acidity may come up a little bit, and that's why you get it tested, and they can.
The bagged up compost, the back to nature compost, the cotton burr compost.
Yeah, that would be good. There's several things you could use for organics.
Okay, what kind of leaves do you use?
What kind of leaves? Any specific tree do you like?
I think about any.
I like to use maple and elms in my garden. They decompose fairly quickly and so on. And oak leaves, pretty slow to decompose.
Right.
I like to use those on my boxwoods and azaleas and holly plants.
Right.
But in the flower gardens and vegetable gardens, you want to use some that don't have so much carbon in them.
Right. And I just go around. I just pick up any leaf, and it doesn't really matter.
In the long run, it doesn't matter, really.
Yeah.
Some is better than none.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much, caller. Appreciate that. And that helped us get into at least one area of what we need to have out there as well.
Okay. So going back, we was talking about the dates. If you want to be 160 days out, you want to start about April the 1st. I've usually, in years past, went about 130. And what I'm reading now is they kind of recommend 140. But I've seen stuff that even 120, the thing may ripen. So if you can only get 120, you may still have a very good, nice pumpkin.
Would you recommend maybe at least people consider kind of doing what Larry sometimes talks about with tomato plants, starting them inside if it's not cool, if it's not warm enough outside to put them in the ground?
Right. Because April the 1st, it's definitely, you don't want to put them outside yet. So start them inside. The actual seed itself, you need it's a pretty good seed coat around there. And what people will do is they'll get like a file, like an emery board, like you do your nails or whatever, and they'll file so that the seed is busted right at the edge, all the way around. Where the little tip is, you want to be careful, because that's where the important part is. And if you bust that, you've lost your seed, So you want to be very, very careful. But you want to sand that, and that get it down to where you can actually see the seed inside. The coating's missing. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of times they'll soak them, for a while, get them wet, and then plant them. And there's all different types. Some people will put them in, like a paper towel and let them grow. I just put mine in good, potting soil, and then just, let them pop up, and then I keep them inside. I've got a greenhouse, so I can, do them inside the greenhouse. There's some people up in the northern places that they'll actually have, hay bales they'll put in a square, and they'll put, plastic or something on it and keep them out of the elements, and some just put them straight into the ground. Some people in some places, they'll actually put heating coils in there, and plant them directly, okay? And so you get all kinds of different, there's some people that warm their soil up, way up. Well, a lot of these are clear up in Canada.
Upper Peninsula, Michigan would not work here, yeah.
Yeah, so you're going to have to, if you're going to get a jump on it, you're either going to have to plant them inside, and the vines may get so long that, it's going to take four or five people to put them out, and you don't really want to go that far. So if you go 140 days, that's April the 22nd, so you could start it outside, and it's kind of up to you. It's personal preference. If you want to start them in a container, I just use the ones that the roots, like the peat pot, or there's a cow, it's a cow, I don't know, cow poo, or basically it's a pressed cow shape, and you plant your seed in it, and the roots just go right through it, and it's organic, and I would like if Larry could get me a 2-gallon poo pot plant, that's what I want, but I don't know if they've got them that big.
They'll come that big.
So anyway, I'd like the big ones too, anyway, you plant them inside, and then you have to have about 80 to 85 degree range, okay? And there's all kinds of propagating trays that you can have. You dial in what temp you want. But you want to keep those fairly warm. If it's cooler than that, it just takes longer, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And you can get, I mean, some people will pay pretty good money for a seed, and then they may not even germinate, okay? And so that can happen. You know, there's been times that no matter what I do, it just, you know, they just don't take for whatever reason, which is kind of frustrating to pay $7, $8, $9, $10, $20 or more and then have the seed not you know, germinate at all.
Sure.
So anyway, that's kind of frustrating.
Well, we'll wrap up our primer on growing large pumpkins right after this on Green Country Gardener, 800-749-5936, the number to call.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand trusted by builders and remodelers Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they're our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overlees Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
Check out Four Seasons Ag and Lawn for great deals on Coyote tractors with warranties up to 6 years. Four Seasons Ag and Lawn is Oklahoma's number one Coyote dealership. Get a tractor with a cab for comfort from a 35 horsepower, and it goes on up from there, so the little guy can be comfortable in the summer and winter at Four Seasons Ag and Lawn. Awarded the Five Paw Dealer Excellence Award. Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, 3 miles southwest of Ulaga on 169.
Hi, I'm John Selmeyer. Invite you to come by and see how we take care of our people here at Four Seasons Ag and Lawn in Ulaga, Oklahoma.
I see it all the time. They leave early in the morning and come back very late.
The curtains, they're always closed. And there's so many people living in that house.
I know. They look scared all the time. It seems like he runs the show.
He's always talking for them.
Seems friendly enough, though.
I'm not even sure if it's the same people I saw last week.
This doesn't make any sense. We have to tell someone. We need to report this.
Modern-day slavery is happening in our own backyard. Know the signs and join the Blue Campaign in the fight to end human trafficking. Call 1-866-347-2423 or go to www.dhs.gov/bluecampaign for more information.
(800) 749-5936. About 4.5 minutes yet to go on the program. We are talking growing large pumpkins, and one of the first steps people need to do now is acquire their seeds and get ready to work on soil prep, right?
Right. So you got your soil. We've kind of went over that. You know how to do that. Have it tested. Make sure you got it right where you want it. And then once you get your plant going, there is all the club members have agreed that if we have a big plant, big genetics, if somebody's paid $100 for the seed or $200, and I don't want to scare you because you'd be surprised how much money some people have paid. But if you have the genetics, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When you get ready to get your fruit and set it, what you want to do is you want to go get the male flower. And the male flower is just a stem. You know, it's different from the female flower. It's got a little small bulb or pumpkin underneath it, right? But you want to go get the male flower. So all the gardeners have said, hey, the guys are growing. So if you want to come in my thing, tell me when, I'll help you. We'll go cut all the male flowers off early in the morning. You know, they're opening up. You keep the bees off of them. You try to, you know, you have your other female plant so it's got something around it so you don't have bees that are in there, you know, messing you up. Mm-hmm. And then you get that flower. So all of us in the club are willing to share our male pollen so you can get really good genetics. And hopefully next year, if you want to use that same seed, we can get really good genetics here each year. So then you have, eventually you'll just have one plant, one big fruit on each plant. You don't have two or three growing because mm-hmm. that really will cut down the size of your your pumpkin you'll have then.
Do you want that plant feeding that one giant pumpkin as opposed to two not
yes,
so big?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And some people will let it go. You know, they'll have several of them they'll set, and they'll see which one is, you know, when it gets about the size of a beach ball, that's the one they want, mm-hmm. and they'll cut everything else off. The other thing you want to do, if you're setting and it's in July, 4th of July, and you're starting to set your fruit in, you have to be careful because if it around here, the thing will germinate and the fruit will start growing, and then all of a sudden you think, well, what's happening? Mm-hmm. And it just will abort itself and just starts getting black and moldy. So what a lot of people do is they'll get like a gallon milk jug, fill it full of water, freeze it and put it around the fruit, put something over to kind of shade it and keep it cool, right? And that's why, you know, if you get to where you're trying to set the fruit and it won't set, it's probably because it's too hot.
Okay. Right?
So that's kind of a...
Tomatoes, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've talked about that on getting good tomato crop that, you know, after it gets, so what is it, 94 degrees?
94 degrees.
Yeah.
So same thing here, if it gets too hot, and then the fruit itself, a lot of people build like a tent over the top of it to keep, you know, keep the pumpkin fruit cooler. Mm-hmm. I know mine, when I opened mine at 880, I had all kinds of seeds that were germinated inside the fruit. You know, the roots were out and the leaves were coming out and whatever inside. So, you know, it's so warm that the seeds are going to germinate inside the fruit while it's out in your field.
And so in about the minute and a half we've got left here, if people want to go to your website and, you know, find out more about the club, more about the dates and everything, and also you probably got an email, and we want to send it to your Facebook page as well. Right,
yeah, go to that Facebook page. The Facebook page is Oklahoma Giant Pumpkin Growers. It's on Facebook. You go there and, you know, sign up for our club. We'll help you. You know, whatever your needs are, we'll try to, you know, we'd like to grow this club so we can help anybody that wants to start. We're there for you.
But, and again, the name of the club is Oklahoma Pumpkin Growers. But if you live in Kansas, if you live in Missouri, you're welcome. Come on
yes,
down.
Yes, definitely. Yes.
Okay. So. Well, it sounds like a great deal. The contest itself will be held Saturday of the Washington County Fair, which is the second weekend in September.
Right.
So, again, count your days back on that.
It'll be the Saturday after Labor Day.
Saturday after Labor Day,
And Tuesday, if you're Washington County, if you're wanting that $100. If you're outside of Washington County, bring it Saturday. If you're in Washington County, all right, or the $1,000, and $100 extra for Washington County.
Okay, so. Sounds great. Well, Larry, thank you for bringing your friends in this morning.
You're welcome, Charlie, and it was a definitely educational session.
It
Keep
was.
Keep your shovel sharp.
All right.
See you next week.
Passion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall. This is KWON Bartlesville and K227CQ Bartlesville.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Serta Mattress.